Welcome to Mike M's Collector's Segment. And these are books that I purchased recently at the comic shop, and they're mostly Marvel. So the reason I've been buying a lot of Marvel is just because the opportunity. Some guy that's bringing his collection, I think he's been shopping at the shop for a long time and decided to offload his entire collection. So he's like bringing like his collection by title. So like he'll bring in his Thors, he'll bring in his Avengers and stuff like that. And I'm tending to put stuff aside for myself with my discount that I have at the store. And so we got Ghost Rider, some I'm trying to get a full run of the volume one of the Ghost Rider, and I got a lot of the early issues, like one through so and so. I got the Marvel Spotlights. I'm missing one Marvel Spotlight. And then I'm missing like 13 through 20 something, and then I have a whole bunch of them, and then I'm missing a few in the end there. But we have Ghost Rider number 43. It has Ghost Rider holding up Johnny Blaze, and it says, "Now it's your turn, mortal. Get ready to taste hell." And then we have Ghost Rider number 48, and it has a weird looking bat with a weird head picking up Ghost Rider off of a cycle. Ghost Rider 51. It says, "Stay off of Clem's Road or else," and it's got like a demonic rig that knocks Ghost Rider off of the road. It's like one of those mountain roads, so off of a cliff kind of thing. We have Ghost Rider 52. It's got two sexy women pulling Ghost Rider apart while he's on his bike, and a third woman in the front of the bike. And it says, "The deadliest creatures on earth, the sirens of Kronos." We have Ghost Rider 57. It has a cover of some guy who's in the electric chair, but his ghost is coming out and it's attacking Ghost Rider. And it says, "Now, Ghost Rider, let's see what you can do against a real ghost. No one can escape the evil of the apparition." Ghost Rider 58. This one just has two dudes that are scared. They're looking at, it's got a picture of a Ghost Rider and their rear view mirror, and they're looking in the rear view mirror, and the guy's turning around with a gun, and he's like sweating profusely. Ghost Rider 64, and this is volume one. This is the Johnny Blaze stuff. If I fail to remember what volume it is, this is "Cease your struggling, Hellspawn. I control your power now. In the clutches of Asmodeus." We have 80, Ghost Rider, "The Eater of Souls, part one of the most stunning, unexpected Ghost Rider sagas of all." And it has like, they're like in a church with a demonic, you know how they have the glass stained windows? It's like a demonic stained window. It has a scary preacher, like something out of Poltergeist. And it has a woman there as like some Cthulhu creature, a tentacle creature is grabbing Johnny Blaze while he's sitting on like some kind of casket. And it says, "Featuring the long-awaited return of Roxanne Simpson," as she's watching this. So yeah, that gets me closer on my Ghost Rider. I just completed my Shadow Volume 1, so I almost have every single volume of Shadow. I think I have two more issues left that DC has published. I still need to get the other volumes. I have number 8 and number 11, and that completed it. Night of the Mummy is number 8. It has the Shadow. Margot Lane is being carried by a mummy in the shadows there pointing guns at him. It's a Frank Robbins cover. It's beautiful. Number 11 has the Shadow being attacked by the Avenger. So he's another pulp hero. It says, "Hero fights hero when the Shadow meets the Avenger. The Avenger's attacking from the top with a knife, and the Shadow is over, you know, underneath him, and he's got both guns there." So that's from DC Comics. We then get to not Brand Eck. This is a satire book from Marvel in the 12th Cent era. And it's Forbush, man. And he's got the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom in, like, terrified, and they're both looking at Forbush, man. The comic magazine for non-believers who hate comic magazines. So all you people that hate comics and rag on them, they should buy this. It's a satire book. It's got the Fantastic Four in fear of Forbush, man. And also the Silver Surfer. We have issue 4, which has Daredevil tied up. It has Electro and Magneto on there. Professor X in the background with Cyclops and Miss Marvel. Submariner has a fish in his mouth. Beast is there and Iceman is there. So in this one it says, see what happens to Scaredevil, Sunks Mariner, and X-Men when the bad guys win. We have number 5, introducing the one and only Forbush Man. Nothing ever happens around here. And it actually, Forbush Man actually looks a lot like the Golden Age Red Tornado, Ma Huckle. And this one it says, Big Peace and Quiet issue. And it has Thing fighting Hulk. And he's actually putting two of his fingers in Hulk's nose. It's got a can of spinach on Hulk's head. And it has the Avengers popping out of a window. We have number 6, which has Johnny Storm getting married to Crystal from the Inhumans. And all the Inhumans are there and they're crying. Lockjaw's holding the dress. Doctor Strange is doing some magic. And it says, Big Baddie Love and Hisses issue. Spider-Man's hanging from the logo, taking a picture. It says, Spidey-Man, the Human Scorch, the Unhumans, Dr. Deranged, and Meshguna, plus other offbeat oddballs. It's pretty funny. It's got Aunt May's rice they're throwing in the air. Karnak looks really goofy. Black Bolt's crying. Not Brand Ake, number 8. It has Forbush Man flops again when enough superhero guest stars to make you swear off comics forever. It's got Nick Fury, the X-Men on the cover, and the Avengers. The Revengers co-starring X-Men, Knock Furious. This is number 9. It says, who says a comic book has to be good? And it has a bunch of goofy superheroes on the cover that are Marvel characters. And Forbush Man is on the bottom on a wooden go-kart scooter type thing. And two gangsters are shooting up the heroes on a poster board. Number 10 is the worst of Not Brand Eck. It's got a bunch of heroes on there drawn in Mad Magazine style. They're all drawn in like Mad Magazine style. King Kong versus the monster movie of all time. It's got King Kong holding some Marvel superheroes. Number 11. Number 12 is a Frankenstein issue. Frankenstein versus the Marvel heroes. And Forbush Man is saying, why is everyone running? And Dr. Doom says, he's got bad breath. And then we have a stamp issue on number 13. It says, stamp out trading stamps. So that wraps up the comics that I've acquired recently. And stay tuned for Mike M's Weekly Reads. Hello, and welcome to another Mike M's. This one, going to talk a little bit about giving thank yous out. My first thank you goes to Shane, my Australian brother. He just left me a thank you message, an audio message on Facebook Instant Message. It just said, you know, thank you for all the podcasts you do. It provides him with hours of entertainment. And I just wanted to give him a shout out because it means a lot when people do that. And especially Shane, he thanks me a lot. Steve Evers Steven Evers, he's been sending me emails, I think, since 2013. I usually get one yearly email asking me a question and saying he's a longtime listener. But he must have listened to Geek Brunch. And in Geek Brunch, me and Bill were going through previews. And we were talking about all the different publishers. And one of the publishers that came up was Z2. And I said, man, I really want to read that Legends comic because it's about dogs in a post-apocalyptic world. And I missed out. I said I missed out on getting it. And it was kind of hard to find. And he sent me the first three issues of Legends. And I've already read the first one, and I really like it. For one thing, I'm a dog lover. And for those of you that know me and you listen to Geek Brunch and some of the stuff that I read, a lot of the stuff that I love is post-apocalyptic books, and this follows into that. So, I'll be talking about that in a future episode of Mike M's. Let's see what else. I wanted to thank Paul Price. So Paul Price commented, Shane also commented on the episode where I talked about like the history of me going from, you know, the drugstore and the convenience store to comic book shops. And he sent me a long article of his journey. And it was really fascinating. And I'll be talking about that in a future episode. Of Mike M's. I'm just going to talk about some of the highlights and the similarities between what he went through as a comic fan. He's roughly my age. I'm a few years older, of course. And I'm going to talk about some of the, like, his journey in comics. He's a comics fan. One of the things he does, too, is he does... I used to do this more before I got into the podcasting of Mike M's Weekly Reads, where I would post, okay, here's my 5 out of 5s, here's my 4 out of 5s, here's my 3 out of 5s, 2 out of 5s, 1 out of 5. And I love the Netflix rating because it the simplicity of it. Like, there's no like 4.5 or you know, it's harder to compare things, but it's simple to say how I feel about a book. You know, I love it. I really like it. I like it. I don't like it. Or I hated it. I mean, the simplicity of it is great. And it's great to rate movies and TV and stuff like that. Because it's really telling you how you feel at these high levels. And then what he does is he puts them in an order, too. So you could see his reads on a the Taylor Network on Facebook, if you enjoy that. And he reads a lot of diverse comics, you know, independent, old stuff, golden age, current stuff, a little bit of everything. So I encourage you to check that out. But I wanted to, you know, just take a quick moment to thank Paul, Steven, and Shane for all the feedback for Mike M's or Geek Brunch or any of the podcasts that I do. Thank you so much. And one other shout out, this one is to Chris Ivey, my Geek Brunch retro brother. He sent me a birthday gift, it was in a, I was like, what is this? It's in like in a huge poster thing. But it's like this huge poster, like one of the huge posters that they used to have at the video stores, you know, when the new DVD came out. And he sent a Batman versus Superman poster, which is awesome. It's like a full-length poster. And he knows how much I love that movie. Really excited that Suicide Squad passed Iron Man. I just love that movie, and I like the fact that critics crapped on it, and people still went to go see it, and see it multiple times, because it really was a good movie. I mean, yeah, there's going to be people, yeah, don't like it, that's fine. But I thought it was great, and I know the material very, very, very well, so I thought they did a fantastic job. And they deviated a little bit, and that's cool. I like when they deviate because it's a surprise. They do something a little different than what you see in the comic books, like the Joker-Harley Quinn relationship and a couple other things. They muted it, probably for the better, because you're showing something to the mass market might not take well to how Joker really treats Harley. It's pretty abusive, and it's usually a one-sided. There is a weird attraction, but it is mostly like she's attracted to him and he'll just use her. So it's different in that fact. In the movie, he is dedicated to her. Other thing I just wanted to talk about briefly before I get into the Mike M's Weekly Reads is, I just read Deathstroke number 3, and it's about Ravager. I was blown away by it. I've been off and on about, like, how he shifts the story, and that sometimes takes me out and stuff. Well, this one was a little more linear, and sure enough, I grasped onto it. And I've always been a sucker for Ravager, and the way Priest wrote Ravager, oh my god, it was just spot on. And I felt every word coming out of her mouth, and the relationship between Deathstroke and her, Rose Wilson. It was amazing. The scene where Deathstroke lost her eye, oh god, it was brilliant. I might have to edit that out, because that's kind of like spoilerific and this shit just came out. So I just want to say that Deathstroke is pretty freaking amazing. Even when I have trouble reading it, I still will go back to it and reread it, because the material's there, and this time I read it first thing in the morning. I always say, okay, this is a pretty dense book. There's a lot to absorb. I'm going to read it first thing. So, yeah, I just wanted to do a shout-out there. And then we were eating breakfast this morning. And it was going to be a quick breakfast, because believe it or not, I'm going to a Valiant Comic Barbecue in a Boulder. And we're going to be doing that today. So we knew we had to eat like a breakfast. So Barb made some breakfast sandwiches. And I put it on something that would be a quick watch. And I watched the first episode of Geeking Out. That's a Kevin Smith one. And I knew it was going to be kind of like not that great. You know, kind of like a Comic Book Man. You know, there's always something in there that interests me. But, you know, I don't get too engrossed in it. It's like one of those good things to watch in the background. And this was like a San Diego Comic-Con spotlight. But the one thing I loved, I absolutely loved, I was like, God, I wish they would do this every week on this show, is they were promoting Bourne, the Bourne Identity series with Matt Damon. This was the Bourne movie that just came out fairly recently. I guess Geeking Out premiered in August. And it's already September. So it's an older episode. And I watched it. You know, I DVR'd them. And they had this scene where he goes, well, your buddy, Affleck. First, you have to know that Affleck and Matt Damon, you know, Good Will Hunting. And Kevin Smith has a good relationship between both of those. Or had. I know Affleck and him kind of fell out a little bit when he got married. But he's always thought that Affleck could be Daredevil, he could be Batman, he could do all this stuff, you know, Kevin Smith, that is. And he was saying, okay, Matt, you know, I'm going to cast you as certain characters in the DC universe, and you're going to be, you know, on a Batman movie, and let's see how you do. And he did the voice of Deathstroke in a scene there, and it was amazing. Like, his voice acting was just like, oh god, I was like, so spot on. The way he read the dialogue was just phenomenal. I was like, oh my god, that's Deathstroke. Like, we already know who Deathstroke is, but it would have been really cool to see him do that, because he like so nailed it at the voice. And then the other thing he did was he wanted just to hear him say Shazam, which was Billy Batson. And he told a story of how he, as a kid, fell off the jungle gym bars and broke his arm. And he yelled Shazam, jumping off of the jungle gym bars. So reminded me of me. I never broke my arm on the jungle gym. And these were pipes. Back when I was a kid, jungle gyms were made out of pipes. And you would climb them. Like, you could get at least 12 feet high. And there were pipes everywhere. And, you know, thin pipes. And we used to play superheroes on it, like, all the time. I used to be Hawkman. I used to jump off, and I used to just hawk like a Hawkman, even though he never did that in the comics. I mean, he talked to birds in the Silver Age, but I used to just have him go, ah, ah! And I never broke my arm on that jungle gym, thank God. But I did break my arm doing Nicholas Hammond Amazing Spider-Man on the fence. I was going on the fence, and I was going, doo 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 doo, you know, to the theme? And I fell off and broke my arm. So I could relate to that. And the third thing he did was he did Old Green Arrow in The Dark Knight. And I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. Again, the way he enunciated and said certain tones, I was like, this is really fantastic. And I hope that in Geeking Out they would do that in the future, where just say, oh, I wonder how you would be this character, you know, because they talked to a lot of actors. They showed the preview to King Arthur, and I didn't even know this movie is coming out, but it has the guy from Son of Anarchy. And I always thought that this guy reminded me so much of Heath Ledger. So I was like, if they ever continued that movies with, you know, that Joker in the middle trilogy, he could play the Joker, I think, and be a Heath Ledger, because he just looks so much like him. Plus, he's a really good actor. I think he could pull off the Joker just like Heath Ledger. A lot of people gave Heath Ledger, just like they gave Mr. Mom, problems with being Batman, and to me, they pulled it off. Like, my favorite Batman still to this day is Michael Keaton, and I know some of it's because of nostalgia, but I just thought he was a great Bruce Wayne, and I thought he was a even phenomenal Batman. He was a little short, but he, when I saw those movies, oh man, I so fond memories of seeing Batman at the theater, because I remember me and Barb were there with my mom and dad, and this was high school, and I just remember going to the premiere, and everybody was dressed and stoked, and they opened the doors, and we ran like it was like a concert, you know. And we got in, and when you see you saw them like going through the bat symbol at the opening, you know, I was in tears. I was fucking like, oh my God. And then when you hear that guy, you know, on the roof, who are you? I was like, oh my God, I'm Batman. I was like, this is heaven. But it is, to this day, my most watchable Batman movie. Like, I could watch it. Maybe it's not the best in most people's, but, like, for some reason, I can rewatch that over and over again. Just like I could rewatch Superman 3, which everybody hates. There's something about it that I could just watch over and over again. I love seeing Clark battle Superman. I love seeing evil Superman getting laid. I mean, I just love that kryptonite, that tar-looking kryptonite, just messed with them. But that's enough of my jibber-jabber, and let me let Harley out. Take a swig of water, because I don't know if you guys saw me record Mike M's, you probably laugh, because what I do is I don't script anything I say, so I walk around as I'm talking, because it helps stream my thoughts. So if I had to script stuff and take notes, I'd be like, I wouldn't enjoy it. It's just more like a vocal diary. So And then now I have to take a note that I have to go back and edit at least a little bit out of that Deathstroke part, because it just came out. I just love reading comics. Like, it's almost hard to read the next comic when something you just love, like, it just hits every note, and you're like, yes, 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 yes. And that was Deathstroke number 3 for me this week. Also, I really enjoyed reading Legend. I really got to get on the Marvel and indie bandwagon again, because the last couple of weeks, well, I'm keeping up with DC, but I'm falling behind in the other. One other book I just want to mention is, really liked Gotham Academy second semester. Really liked it. Looking forward to seeing where that goes. So let's get into Mike M's Weekly Reads. So this is going to be weird, but I want to explain to you what I've been doing with DC. I'm a mood reader, but I've been keeping up with the Rebirth. And almost at a phenomenal pace. Like, I read almost the entire series from from Wednesday to Friday. So I'm going back and reading some of the books that I haven't read. And I started to read, let me go over the summary. So you know my rating systems, I already talked about it. There are a total of 22 books. And, we had 1 Zenoscope, 16 DC, so you can already see that I'm getting into the DC flavor here, 2 Boundless, 1 Black Mask, 1 Archie, and 1 451 Media. Oh, actually, it's 2 451 Media, so it's a total of 23 books. I don't know how to add. That starting at the 3 out of 5 doesn't mean I enjoyed them. And this will probably be shocking to some of you, is Wonder Woman 25 through 26. So this is the Azzarello Wonder Woman. And for the most part, I really enjoyed this. But trying to get back into it from where I left off was kind of jarring. And that's why I rated this one a 3 out of 5. Yeah, I enjoyed it. But man, it wasn't flowing for me. Like, it wasn't beating for me as well as I would hoped. And that's probably because of my absence away from it. One thing I really like about Marvel is when you take an absence, you get that summary. Valiant does it really good too. So like if you take some time off, a couple months, maybe even 6 months, you could go read that, get a few paragraphs of where you left off, and then you have enough to take off with. But some of the stories, if you don't remember, it could affect your reading experience. So that was Wonder Woman 25 to 26. The next one is a 451 Media Sunflower number 2 and 3. This one started off a little bit better than it is in the middle part. But it is very interesting. It is about a woman that lost her family, so she thinks, but then gets a letter or something and realizes that her daughter may not be dead. And her daughter, she's told to go to this little small town that is run by somebody like, if you ever watch Roadhouse and you know that Patrick Swayze movie, there's a bad guy in that film that kind of owns the town. Well, that's kind of like the town that she is going to. And she journeys there, and this is her journey there. And she's meeting up with followers, she's meeting up with the cop, things change. Still really intriguing. Not as good as the first, but it still was good. I did enjoy it. So that was Sunflower from 451 Media. We have Kim and Kim. This is a Black Mask. And I remember tweeting about this, and the writer of the story was like, because I didn't tweet something that I didn't like it. I tweeted something like, let me see if I can remember what I tweeted. I said something like, this book, the story was interesting, the art was interesting, but it's not for me. Like, I'm not going to continue with it. And it's true, I did drop Kim and Kim. And then I remember that person just writing to me and saying, well, you know, you tried it, and what comics do you like? And then that trying to explain that is like is non-stereotypical. They threw back at me, well, what do you read? You know, how do you reply to that? You know, I read the whole damn previews magazine, and sound like an arrogant asshole, but for the most part, it's true. I buy everything. I'm not always caught up, but I do eventually read stuff. So that was Kim and Kim. That has like an art, if you like Archie and maybe Josie and the Pussycats kind of stuff, you might like Kim and Kim. So the next two are Boundless. Boundless, I read. They're pretty nasty. These two are related, and I think I like them a lot more. The Ravening, number one, which is about vampires, and Helena, number one, which is about she kind of works for the devil, and she tries to keep balance because there's like all these different factions. The vampires, the half-breed monsters, I forget what they call them. They're the ones with like the goat feet and the human torso and stuff. There's like a war going on, and Helena's the balance for hell. She works for Lucifer Morningstar, which I've always been infatuated with. That one was, I liked a little bit more, The Ravening. The Ravening is about two vampires that they're at war with all the other vampire families because they lost their father. And it's pretty interesting. And they even have some stuff in there about Helena. So I really liked them. They were enjoyable. Now we get to the 4 out of 5s. We have Jughead, number 5, which was the alternate Earth Archie gang. It's like a gender change. It's one of those things like the Seinfeld. I don't know if you've seen that Seinfeld episode where they you see like the Bizarro George and the Bizarro Jerry and Bizarro Kramer and Elaine. This is like that, except Archie's a girl, Jughead's a girl, Betty's a guy, Veronica's a guy. I really enjoyed it. It was a good issue of Jughead. And that principal, who's the bad guy, who's always fighting Jughead, is the storyline continues in 5. And again, excellent back matter. I love the back matter more than the front matter. It's weird. I never have thought about that, but Golden Age Archie is where it's at least for me. I really like it. Next one is Robin Hood. I love New York. This is a Zenoscope one. Cool story starting off. Don't dismiss Zenoscope. I mean, a lot of people dismiss it just because the covers, but they don't look at the content. And most of the people that do that just shit all over the books, but don't even read them. And if you find out that a lot of their fan base is female, because there are really strong female characters in this book. Like, you go to the comic store, and at least the shop here, a lot of the people that have it on the pull list are females. They enjoy reading those books, and they're really good books. Robin Hood, I've only read one mini series from it, and I didn't go on to the ongoing, but I'm back onto this other mini series. It seems like they're going to the miniseries thing. They just ended their main title, Grim Fairy Tales, and relaunching it like everybody else does to try to take a boost, I'm sure, in sales. It's the smart trend to do if you're an owner. Amazing Spider-Man 1 through 7. This was kind of like the Spider-Man versus the Zodiac. Really enjoyed this. Dan Slott crafted a story, and I read 1 through 7 and was addicted to the story. And you find out like J. Jonah Jameson's in that living brain, and he doesn't know that he's there. And of course Peter is working for his company. But I really solid book. I got to get back into it, a matter of fact, because I want to read everything up until the Clone Conspiracy or whatever the latest crossover is. So I'm really excited for it. The next one is 4 out of 5, and has gone into the 5 out of 5s recently for me. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. This was focused a lot on Sinestro and Warworld and Hal. And it's a bridge from... This was the Rebirth issue, and it was the bridge from New 52 to now. It kind of said, okay, here's where Hal's been through. He thinks he's the last Green Lantern left. Here's where Sinestro book left off. Here's where the Green Lantern Corps left off. Because this is like an anthology book it's turned into. But I really like it. It's like told at a pace that's really that makes you want more. The next book is Nightwing Rebirth. It was the transition from Grayson to Nightwing. It was told really well, and the series kind of like when it launched, I was kind of Nightwing's been like a roller coaster for me. Like I really like an issue and then I just like it, and then I really like an issue and then I just like it. So it's been like a little bit of a roller coaster for me. We have Civil War Volume 2, Secret Wars. This was the Secret Wars crossover, not the current Civil War 2. This was Volume 2 of Civil War. Essentially, the Secret Wars tie-in that dealt with that, it was really well told. I really enjoyed it, and it was toward the top of the 4 out of 5s. We had New Superman number 1. I wanted to read that Civil War before I really started to get into the Civil War 2. That's why I read that kind of like in one shot. This was the Chinese Superman, which is a bully. This series is top notch. I am so glad this book exists. I hope it makes it 12 issues. I hope people see kind of what I see in it, which is something that's different, like to the Superman universe. And it's got the Great Ten. I love that. What you have to look forward to is the Chinese version of the Freedom Fighters. I mean, I'll just put that out there. Flash 2. He has a new sidekick. This will change your opinion of what... He's essentially a police officer, and he's using this guy who's yet to be named. He doesn't have a superhero name at this point as his partner. So it's like Flash and Kid Flash, except it's like two cops doing this. We have Action Comics 459. This is the fight with Doomsday. Doomsday emerges after a supervision blows up a gasoline line, and all hell breaks loose. And plus you have the Clark Kent thing going on. So this is after the death of Superman, the new Superman taking over the mantle, fighting Doomsday, and all hell's breaking out in Metropolis. And then you have the Lex Luthor's, you know, Lex Luthor wanting to be Superman in the Superman suit. A lot of stuff going on. Jan Jurgens knows how to tell Superman stories that are highly entertaining. Regardless of when he does it, it's always really well told. He also draws really well. I'd love to see him pen an issue of Action Comics when he's not too busy writing. I used to love when he'd do both. But I was walking around so much my computer screen went to sleep. Hopefully my recording is still recording, which is good. So that's the end of the 4 out of 5s. Now we get to Wonder Woman number 2. This is the year 1 storyline. A 5 out of 5. All I can say is this Wonder Woman even issues are phenomenal. And you can see why he's doing it the way he's doing it. Like, he's telling the current storyline, but it's linked to the past. And you don't see that for several issues. But if you want to read a good... Like, they could easily package Wonder Woman Year One as its own entity. And I think you could just read it from beginning to end It'll be really interesting in trade what they try to do. And if they do it separate, I might buy it, like double dip, and just read it in the order, a different order than I'm reading it in the monthly format to see how it works. But love this Wonder Woman issue. And Lucifer 1 through 7. This is very different from the TV show, but it's like pulling some threads from the TV show. And I didn't read the original Lucifer Vertigo series. I think I might have issue one, and then I drop in and out of Vertigo, and it was the time when I was dropping out. But I do need to pursue that. I should look for it to see if there's a full run of that. It might be tough to get now because of the TV show. But I sat down and I read 1 through 7 of Lucifer, and I was amazed. Maze is like running hell. Lucifer's back on Earth. There's a mystery. There's some supporting characters that are linked to heaven and hell that are very, very, very interesting. It has to do with the death of God, and it's a phenomenal story arc. I just love it, and maybe it's because I read it in the way I read it, but fantastic. And then we got Detective Comics 936. The one thing that you'll know is that I think I've rated every Detective Comics 5 out of 5. It is my favorite comic in the DC New 52. Right now, there's a crossover. It's gone down a little bit for me because of its different creative team. It's still really good. They wanted to give the writer and the art teams a break because of the twice monthly. And there's a 2 month crossover going on where between 3 books, Nightwing, Batman, and Detective Comics, called The Monster Man. And Monster Man has been around a long, 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 long time. It's related to Hugo Strange, and you will see that unfold in those 3 titles. Batman is one, Nightwing is the twos, and Detective is the threes, and that's how we get the 6 issues. So, the team that on Detective Comics that they formed is really, really interesting to me. Clayface, they threw in a villain into this team. I find that really interesting. You take one of the two of my favorite characters, Spoiler, and the Orphan, who's Batgirl in the pre-52. I absolutely loved her as Batgirl, the one that never said too much words. She even had her mask sewed over her mouth because she never needed to talk, but she could see everybody's movements. And then they linked her in with the League of Assassins later on, and now she's the Orphan. And the New 52 came out of Batman and Robin Eternal. It was either that or Batman Eternal. I can't remember. I think it's Batman and Robin Eternal. Was the Orphan storyline, and it was kind of like Batman and Robin Eternal was almost like a Robin crossover because it had all his prodigies in the series and only flashbacks of Batman because during that time Batman was James Gordon, which is kind of odd, but I love the change. It keeps things fresh, and they kind of de-aged him, and now he's old crotchety again, but not as old. It's amazing what some shaving cream and a blade will do. But that ends this episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I want to thank you for listening, and all the feedback that the show has gotten. Again, thank you to Paul Price, Shane, and Stephen Evers for the feedback and also shipping me those books. And thanks for Ivy for that huge movie poster. And we'll talk to you again very, very soon. Because you know what I just bought? A giant size X-Men. We'll have to talk about that coming up. I just couldn't pass up the price with my discount and the shape that this was in. VF minus. And I might talk about the price I got it for, but it was really good. It was like half of what I could get it for at a con. So we'll just put that out there. And yeah, I've been getting some really cool books lately. I'm also getting, which I haven't purchased yet, but it's in my box, is the first Sabretooth. And then I'll finish my Iron Fist run, which would be pretty cool. But that's coming up in the collector segments of Mike M's Weekly Reads. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. Facebook is under Geek Brunch Podcast. You can view the episode threads there. You can comment there. If you comment or tweet me, I may use your comment on the show. So if you don't want me to, please tell me in the email or the tweet that, you know, if it's something I want to talk about, I will. And let's see. I do a lot of uhs, but again, I don't edit any of this shit. So it's just the way I talk when I'm thinking. So let's see. I did the Facebook of the GeekBrunchPodcast.com as the site. Please leave an iTunes review on Geek Brunch Podcast. It helps with the visibility of the show. I really got to get on Stitcher, but I've been lazy because I might get some listeners on Stitcher if I wasn't so damn lazy, and increase the audience for Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, and Mike M's. I apologize for Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retro kind of slipping on schedule. It's mostly my fault. Vacations and weekend things that are going on have prevented me from recording. And hopefully we'll get back in track towards October, November, December. December is always a weird one because of the vacation. But and then usually January through April are pretty doggone solid until the con season happens again, and then summer vacations and everything. So we'll talk to you again soon. Take it easy and read some comic books. Go get Deathstroke number 3. Bye-bye.